This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Taco to go, taco to, and a big cube. Taco to go, taco to go. Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't taco, lose. Taco, 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 taco. This deal legit. Taco, taco, taco. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go. $2.99.
Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard on BG Day tonight. BG Live at the Colonial Theater. We're going to be out at the Great American Pub in Phoenix. Well, that's where the afternoon show is going to be, doing their show before BG Live. And then obviously everyone meeting up for a great event tonight. And it's been Brandon Graham stories and Brandon Graham appreciation on the station all day long. And joining us next to talk about Brandon Graham, a guy that had a chance to watch him become a great leader in Philadelphia. And before him, he was a great leader in Philadelphia. Brian Dawkins joins the Midday Show right now. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's happening, gentlemen? How y'all doing?
All right, and you, man. How you been, man? I ain't talked to you in a while.
I'm good, dog. I'm good, man. You, what was the first thing that I asked you? Do you remember the first time I asked you about when you told me it's going to be a BG Day?
Oh, yeah. Talk about on Cinco de Mayo, we're going to do crack jokes or something. It's a roast.
Does he speak a lick of Spanish, man?
Does No, he does not. But I told you, remember I told you, I said we just changed because it's a play on 5-5, May 5th. 5-5.
I can dig it. What's that got for me?
Doc, what was it like for you watching the career of Brandon Graham and really watching him become a leader and a guy that you know, moved up the charts all time in the most games played ever here in Philadelphia?
Yeah, if you go back to the post that I posted, you know, when he decided to retire, and it talked about the story that's going to be told about a smallish defensive end that was considered to be a bust by many who have gone on to be, you know, one of the legends to play in Philadelphia and to be known for the sack. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The script, the sack. So to me, that speaks the volumes to any of young people out there who are ascribing to be something that, you know, just because you start off a specific way. And he also talked about it, his own story about his mind changing. So his mindset changed about what he needed to do to be better than he was the first couple of years. And then that's when it happened. He became BG, the smiling assassin.
I like that nickname from you. That's a good one.
That's pretty cool. But Brian, my question was this, because we know, and I was a part of when you left Philadelphia and you went to Denver, and I know for a fact you never wanted to leave. So what does it say to you, or how does it make you feel when you know that BG played here for 15 seasons?
Well, I love it for him. And that's the way it's supposed to be, in my opinion, when you have a person to play the way that he's played and love the city the way he loves it and is willing to stay around and do what he needs to do from that standpoint in the community as well. That's the way it's supposed to be. And I wish it would have happened. A couple of years prior, but it did. But for BG, I'm just so happy that it's happened for him because he's also such a good dude, man. Good dude.
Brian, what does it tell you about a player, that, and you did it too, that plays that long? Like, what does it take? What did it take for you? What do you think it took for him? Because it's just so rare. I mean, obviously, Hugh mentioned he played his whole career here, but just the longevity, whether it's here or anybody anywhere else, what is that like to last in the NFL that long? It's so rare. I mean, the average career is, what, 3-4 years? I mean, you lasted 16. Brandon lasted 15. What does that say about a player when they can go that far into their career?
Wow. I mean, obviously, there's some gifts in there as well, right? We're gifted to be able to do things, play the game a specific way with talents and the like. But it also, you have to take care of your body, man. That's one thing that I was very keen on, taking care of my body. The way that I still live today is because I took care of my body when I was playing the game back then. And BG's a similar way, man. He takes care of himself. And then also, I would say that there's a routine that you get into that you know you have to do things a specific way in the off season. There is no off season for someone who's playing in the National Football League, in my opinion, because you always in a mindset that you have to continue to stay working, stay moving. Even when you're resting, it has to be an active rest, the way that I see it. And to me, that's one of the things that you would see BG constantly working on his body, what he puts in his body for the most part. And to me, if you look at the guys who play long periods of time, that would be across the board. A guy's knowing how to work, knowing how to recover properly, and knowing how to take care of the body.
Brian Dawkins joining us here on the Midday Show on Brandon Graham Day, 5-5. It is Cinco de Mayo. We're going to be celebrating Brandon Graham all day here.
He don't speak a lick of Spanish.
That's
either.
All right. You know what? Today we all do. we should ask if we see him tonight. Brandon, be real. You speak any Spanish? Brian, let's go back to this past year with the Eagles doing what they did and winning the Super Bowl. What was it like for you to watch the year that Brandon had? Because when the year started, I mean, we didn't know how much he was going to play. We knew he was coming back for his last season, but the Eagles had signed Bryce Huff, and they had drafted Nolan Smith and Jalen Alexander. We weren't sure, like, was he just going to play a little bit? But boy, Brian, he was still a huge part of the defense. Then he gets hurt, and he comes back, and he plays in the Super Bowl. I mean, what a story in his final year on top of everything else.
Man, you couldn't have written it no better. Like, seriously, drama right at the end. Oh, he's hurt. Oh, no, it's over for him. And all of a sudden, he rises back up, plays in the last game, and they win the Super Bowl. So now he rides off into the into the sunset, right? I mean, you can't write it any better. But as far as the season is concerned, man, it would be one thing if we had seen Brandon not being able to, you know, be BG, right?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see that. I didn't see. Did you see it?
I was a little jealous because he. He was balling hey, against the Rams. Hey, he was balling against the Rams. Now I was like, damn, wish I could do that.
Yeah, so you see what I'm saying? So it was there, like, and you heard Vic even say it, like, you know, I guess he was joking around. You know, I'm not going to let you retire because you're still so productive. So again, it wasn't like he couldn't do it. So for him to get hurt, and you know, I thought it might have been over as well, but there was some chirps that he would be able to come back. And so I'm happy that he was able to come back. And even though he tore it again, but it don't matter. They won that. They won the ring.
Brian, watching him both closely and from afar, what do you think made him such a good leader? Because everyone we've talked to today and every one of his teammates that chimed in the last few months after his announcement, they all seem to point to not just a really good player for a long time, but also someone that just made the team better just by his personality and being around. What do you think made him such a good leader?
One thing I would say is I don't think BG has ever had a bad day. Like, yeah. When you walk in, like, his smile, and I'm not talking about the first couple of years. First couple of years, there are a lot of bad days, I guess. But after that, going into the transformation into the person that we're talking about now, like, he's always upbeat, always smiling. Even when things are not the way that he would want them to be, he still have a positive mindset about it. And that's contagious, right? That type of person is contagious that you want to be around. And so he's also the type of dude in practice that, you know, he jokes all the time. And somebody on this phone or on this call right now used to joke all the time in practice too. And what that does, though, it lightens the mood. Like, even though you're grinding and grinding things out, when you have guys around like that with those type of personalities, like, it lightens things up and you know, you don't feel the pain quite as much as you would. And then he was also someone that's very outspoken as it pertains to stepping or asking someone what's going on, right? He's going to be the type of teammate that if he sees something going on, that he's going to, you know, come sit beside you and want to talk to, you know, see if he can help in some type of way. And that's always a great thing.
Well, it is, especially the lighten the mood thing. I mean, I feel like you need that in the locker room.
It sounds like
you were the one doing that back in the day.
Well, no, we used to have fun, man. It was like, you know, we had a very, very unique locker room. And you know, you could tell stories about – see, Doc didn't say a whole lot during the week because he was too busy moving around like an old man. But, boy, when he put that helmet on, it was just like – it was like Jekyll and Hyde, boy. Speaking of Jekyll and Hyde, dog, since we're here now. So who came up with the Hawaiian-themed Brian Dawkins Impact Golf Tournament thing? Who came up with that?
That was me, man.
So you just want us to wear Hawaiian? See, we got to wear Hawaiian shirts, Joe.
You have one ready to go?
Yeah, I got a couple of them.
Okay. Hey,
listen, I bought Tommy Bahama shirts years ago.
Just for this.
So listen.
Bring them out.
So when Ike told me, because you know, I barely pay attention to my email. I don't even open my email here at work. Ike said, yeah, man, it's a Hawaiian thing. I said, get out of town. I bought these shirts about 30 years ago. I'm going to go ahead and break one of these suckers out. But I can't wait to this golf tournament.
So let me give you the inside scoop on that. So the reason why I did it, you know, is because we who have gone to the Pro Bowl actually went across the water.
Uh-huh.
The Pro Bowl, right? And I remember the feeling of that. I remember of going to the Pro Bowl and, you know, going to the Ihalani. And the feeling of it, the vibe of the whole thing, the feeling of the whole event.
Yes.
And so I said, you know what? I want to see if I can allow people to escape and feel, give people a little bit of feeling of what we felt going to Hawaii, going to the Pro Bowl. So that's really where the theme came in. And that's what the event is going to be about. We're going to try our best to kind of put things around the compound to allow people to escape. From their daily walks to be able to come experience what the food and the atmosphere was that I felt at the Pro Bowl.
So there will be a lay at the golf tournament?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to get a lay.
Okay.
Get a couple of them.
All right, Hugh. You got the Hawaiian shirt, you got the lei, the luau, and you got the golf. Brian, it's coming up, what, June 1st and 2nd, right? The Penn Oaks
June
Golf Club?
June 1st and 2nd. Yep. And there's still tickets available for the island feel is what we call
the island feel.
The island feel.
I like that.
Man.
Good stuff. Brian, we appreciate you as always. Have a great rest of your day. And thank you for being part of the Brandon Graham Day here on WIP.
Absolutely. Y'all be blessed, man.
Hey, have a good one,
there
man.
There he goes. Dawkins with us. Brian Dawkins. About
see,
his golf tour. You were very mature.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you kind of veered off a little bit there.
And you see, he kept it focused.
Well, because he knows how to deal with you. I mean,
why are you looking at me like that, Kyle?
Because this is what we have to deal with every day.
I'm just saying, I'm going to get a light.
Just wondering what kind of eagle you would have been if Brian Dawkins wasn't there to
rein me in.
To keep you, yeah.
Well, you saw what those Jets teams did.
Yep.
Same guy. Lost every week.
I just can't wait to wear my, listen.
How old are these shirts you have?
Man.
Maybe you should refresh and get some new ones.
No, but
They've changed the designs.
These are vintage.
Yeah.
These are vintage.
That's what they call old.
They're vintage. And I got some that still have the price tag on them that I haven't worn. Because I went through this
what
phase,
What year
right?
did you buy these?
Probably the first year I went to the Pro Bowl.
Oh, Hugh, that was the night?
Yeah. They're still in good shape, though. Have you ever seen the Tommy Bahama shirts?
Yes.
They are classics. These are classic shirts.
Kyle, where do you come down on Hugh wearing a 1999 Tommy Bahama shirt?
I guess it's better than the olive green sweatsuit they wore the last golf tournament.
I got some golf pants, too. I'm going to dress up.
Golf shoes?
Mm.
What are you going to wear? Jordans?
No, you know what's funny? I do have a pair of golf shoes that are they're J's
okay.
that I bought
All right.
when I was young in my shoe game.
Mm. Yeah.
And I just wanted them because they were J's. So I got a pair somewhere. They're in there
I
somewhere.
Don't know what we're going to do with golf you. I mean, that's not like you don't scream golf when I. When
I don't.
You
I don't
really, last
I'm
very long.
On it. I'm working on it. I just ain't brought myself to get them damn clubs, though.
Well,
clubs,
that's the last piece of the puzzle
it's
here.
It's a Gripperton.
Yeah. Come on.
A Gripperton.
Yeah. It's an investment. 215.
How much am I going to play golf for real, though?
Well,
it got to make sense.
Not much.
So, I might just go get me some used clubs.
You could do that. All right, 215-592-9494. For this hour on 94WIP is fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. If you demand peak performance for your vehicle, then nothing less than Sunoco 94 Octane will treat your car to 94 only at Sunoco. All right, we have a gift card today to give away, $100 to Sunoco to give away today. The best call we get to Why You Love BG is the winner of this gift card today. We'll give that away. We got you people coming up in a little bit as well on the show. 215-592-9494. Let's grab Joe, and then let's give a few thoughts on the Phils. We've really talked about the Phils all week, and they won 2 out of 3 over the Diamondbacks. What's up, Joe?
Is that me?
Are you Joe?
That would be you.
Maybe.
Well, it's either you or me, Joe. Me. No one needs to hear me anymore. So you go, Joe. You're up.
If yesterday was May the 4th be with you. Today is May the 5th, BG.
May the 5th, BG. You in there, Hugh? No.
Be with you, whatever.
Guys, you guys are hard on the callers.
Here's the reason why Brandon is our favorite. In November of 2018, my son got diagnosed with cancer and had to have an amputation in February of 2019. And somehow 5 Eagles called. The very first one who left a voice video for him was Brandon Graham. And the best thing that came from it is it made my wife committed to the Eagles like nobody else.
I'm sure.
Oh, that's cool.
And we did get to meet him the next summer at training camp. He spent 5-10 minutes with us. It was a huge deal. It's not as huge as the biggest play in Eagles defensive history, but it's a pretty close second.
Well, and Joe, so, I can only imagine now, here's my, as you're telling me the story, my first thought is it is special, and I'm so glad that he did that for your family. I'm also not surprised, which tells you a lot about
a
the person.
Guy. Yeah, he's a special
guy.
When you said it, it wasn't like some athletes, you'd be like, wow, because they don't do those kind of things. They don't take the time. I'm not surprised, Joe. I'm sure a lot of people in the area have similar stories, which shows about him.
And I'm sure they do. And he knows, because I got to tell him, and those other 5 players do as well. It means so much, even more than what happens on the field. Because people who have cancer just feel alone. And for him to break through that, it just means so much. And, you know, it's just a little thing. 1 minute that he took out of his day, it'll mean everything to us the rest of our lives.
Well, Joe. Well,
thanks, BG.
Well, thank you for sharing the story. I mean, it shines a light, Joe. We appreciate
it. That's pretty cool.
On the guy he is.
Yeah, it really is, man. I mean, to hear that story and BG do things like that, it is pretty cool.
Well, especially, you know, I always think when people tell these stories, a lot of these, sometimes these things are publicized, right? This becomes a story you'll see a clip or something, but sometimes they're not, right? Sometimes these things just happen, and then you find out about them after, like we did there. We appreciate that story. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the next caller here. His name is Derek Walton, and we know him as that, but Brandon knows him as his father. Brandon Graham's father, Derek, on the line with us right now. Derek, how are you today?
Hey, everything's going good. How's it going over there?
Hey, it's pretty good. We're celebrating your son's day.
Yeah, I heard.
Derek, let me ask you this, because I'm sure you're so proud of him and what he became and the career he had. Can you try to put into words for us what it means to you that your son wasn't just a great Eagle, but he's beloved here in this city?
Oh, yeah. He always been a beloved kid, though. You know, everybody loved him. That smile tell it all, you know. I guess my personality rubbed off on him, too. You know, that's just how we are. You know, just people just cling to us like that, you know, because we're just some good people. But He definitely is an awesome kid. You know, I couldn't ask for no better son than him.
Well, he's a great guy and a great football player here for a long time. 15 years. I mean, Derek, when his career started, imagine if I had told you 15 years and he'd play more games as an Eagle than anyone ever. What would you have said if I told you that?
I really don't know what I would have said. You know, but I said with his attitude and his hard work, you know, I would have believed it. You know, but to see it, to be surreal with it is like, you know, unreal, you know?
Derek, was he, you know, you mentioned he had always had that positivity to him. Did he still have it early on? Because early in his career here, it was challenging, right? He didn't get off to the best start, and it was difficult for him. He told us it was difficult. Did he express mm-hmm. that to you guys and you and his family, or did he even stay positive all the time, even when things weren't great?
You mean as an Eagle?
As an Eagle, early on, yeah.
Yeah. Well, for one, you know, he was just real excited to get drafted, and we all was, you know, excited to get drafted. But once he put them pads and stuff on to go through the professional and the NFL and people that's, like, better than him and up against the same kind of talent that he have, you know, it was a little struggle. I'm sure, you know, everybody in college that come out of college have a little struggle sometime, you know, but he got through it, you know, he stayed positive, you know, and just never let stuff get to him.
Derek, take us through the moment, his best moment in the NFL, his biggest one. He has the strip sack on Tom Brady in Super Bowl 52. Take us through your moment there, watching your son have a special play like that. Were you in the stadium, watching at home with family? Where were you? What was your reaction when that moment happened?
Well, I was in the stadium, and when I seen the play, I almost jumped on the field from my seat. That's about the best I can describe it. I couldn't believe that. You know, that's just how it was with any big play he'd make, you know, during his professional career. You know, I can't sit down. But that play made me really want to jump on that field, though.
I don't think you're the only one.
Everybody
listening wanted to do that. Derek, we appreciate you calling in for your son's special day. He was an awesome player, and he's truly beloved here in Philadelphia. Thank you, Derek.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
There he goes, Derek Walton. Well, you know, he said it, and he didn't have to say it. I can hear Brandon in his voice.
Yeah.
The bubbly nature.
Yeah. All that.
The laugh too.
Sometimes it's remarkable how you can meet someone for 10 seconds or 2 minutes, talk to someone, you feel like that's Brandon Graham's father there. 215-592-9494. All right, one segment left on our portion of the Brandon Graham special day here, BG Day 55 Cinco de Mayo. I didn't think about that till Doc said it. We don't even know if Brandon knows any Spanish.
He don't. I would venture to say no. I probably don't know those Spanish.
I mean, maybe Joe puts him on the spot tonight.
We know Hugh doesn't.
¿Cómo se llamas?
We haven't tapped it. This is an untapped market. We haven't gotten to.
Muy bien, gracias. Muy caliente.
Kyle, we just summoned into something.
Hugh Save speaking, yourself, buddy.
Hugh speaking different languages is the next iteration of this. What are you, bilingual, trilingual? How many languages do you know?
He's barely
he's barely lingual.
I barely speak English. Let them people on the YouTube tell it. What is he saying?
What?
You're the only American talk show host that barely speaks English.
The
Hugh Douglas.
And the Mbwiggity. Yeah, I like that one.
A is for that. All right. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls. Our last shot to get in. Your phone call here. Why you love Brandon Graham. Best call we get today. I'm assuming we're excluding his father. I don't feel like he's eligible for the prize.
No,
because
he's not.
That's his dad. All right, you have a story or a favorite moment or just why you love BG. 215-592-9494. Best call today wins our prize. We'll get to you people. Plus, we'll get to some Phillies takeaways from the weekend. They win 2 out of 3, but the only time today that I teed up the Phillies, Rhea was annoyed at them. Our takeaways from the Phillies winning, but dropping yesterday's series finale. Chance at a sweep, they didn't get it. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
3 balls, 2 strikes. Beeks delivers. Swing and a hot shot to first. Picked by Naylor. He'll run to the bag, and that will end the ball game. Kyle Schwarber smoked it, but on one hop, Josh Naylor takes care of it, and the Diamondbacks avoid the sweep with an 11-9 win in 10 innings today.
Now that was a wild game yesterday. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to your phone calls on BG. Final chance to hop in for today. And compete for the $100 gift card to Sunoco. Your favorite BG story, and really why for you BG is a player you loved here in Philadelphia. But here, the Phillies win 2 out of 3 over the weekend. They have had a few opportunities this year, though, to sweep a series, right? Especially at home. They win to the first two. Mm-hmm. They did this with Miami. I think they've done it like 3 or 4 times now, where they win the first 2 games at home in a series, and then they drop the last one. And again, two out of three is good. You keep stacking two out of threes. Those are good.
Yeah, but that was a winnable.
Very. Well, I mean, they came back. I mean, they got the game extra innings. They were down 7-1. It looked like a clear loss, but then they come all the way back. And then it just was frustrating the way they lost because the defense gave out and they gave out pitching-wise, and then they just couldn't get a big hit in the last inning of that game.
Yeah, and, you know, one thing that jumped out to me from this weekend is that Sherbert, whatever you want to call him, Sherbert.
11 homers.
Yeah, we need to go ahead and figure that out. I know that normally you don't want to do anything during the season, yep. But I would definitely let him know that you are a big part of what I want to, you know, factor in to this team in offseason. I would definitely let him know.
Well, the home run Friday night got them back to a way they could win that game. And then yesterday, he gets the game within one. And I mean, sometimes I watch their offense, and I know they had a pretty good weekend overall, but I watch their offense, and I'm like, if not for him, they just wouldn't score a lot of runs.
He's the only guy that when I look at this team, and you talk about making adjustments
yep.
to this season, that he's done it and has not batted an eye. You know, he's the guy that, you know, wherever you want him hitting the lineup, that's what he's going to do.
So his OPS now after yesterday is .955, Hugh. He's the only guy over 900 right now in the lineup. And you look at the other players that are even over 800, Sosa, but he doesn't play much. And Kepler, who's been on a nice streak. I mean, everybody else is in the 700s or the 600s. That includes Trey Turner and Harper. We'll get to in a second. Castellanos, Real Muto. I mean, he's been by far, Schwarber, their best offensive player. Defense wasn't great yesterday. But all right, they win two out of three. But Hugh, we had a conversation on Friday about Bryce Harper and what's going on because he just hasn't been great so far this season. Now, he did hit a home run, which is good this weekend. And hopefully it's the beginning of something. But I thought it was interesting. Friday, we had a discussion on our show about Bryce Harper. Afternoon show had a discussion on their show about Bryce Harper. And then Friday night, City Connect night, Scott in L.A. on the broadcast had a conversation about Bryce Harper and where he's at right now.
Seems to be this narrative about town that Bryce Harper isn't having any fun, isn't enjoying playing baseball. And I think the folks down at ground level would tell you differently. He's
right.
Not happy that he's not hitting the way.
That's what it is.
Yeah. But you ask around and what kind of a teammate he's been and all that. The pitch is up high and they say Harper might be the best he's ever been as a teammate in terms of being supportive of others and staying engaged on the bench, even when things are not going well for him. The 1-0 pitch. Schwarber swings, hits a comebacker. Kelly's got it, throws low to second. Perdomo Fields falling down in the bag, and his throw to first is not in time. I mean, he literally did a belly flop on top of the second base bag to catch that throw from Merrill Kelly. And Kelly upset with himself for botching that potential double play.
Oh, that was a – you're not going to get much of an easier double play than that.
So it'll go 1-6 to put out at second base.
Well, what was it Harper said? You know, when I was a jerk, I hit great. Maybe I should go back to being a jerk. Now I'm trying to be a nicer guy, and I'm not hitting. I mean, I should go back to being a jerk.
Here's Castellanos, big swing, no contact on a breaking ball. It's nothing and one.
Something, I don't know exactly, but something along those lines. Yeah, he's not going to be jumping up and down. I don't think there's too many players who are going to be all thrilled and excited about struggling. Not that he's...
Oh, one pitch, and that's down low. He lays off.
Not like he's struggling for the whole month. He's not where he wants to be, and he's not happy that he's not there.
Hugh, what'd you make of that? That was interesting. That Scott, the way I understood it is he kind of asked around, right? He asked around the team, and his teammates, or at least people around the team, seemed like they're saying the teammate stuff is fine. He's just upset at the way he's playing.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where I mean I get what they're saying,
yeah,
and they're trying to say that, you know, he's upbeat, but it's the body language.
That's yes.
It's for us that don't know. Just like when I asked Scott last week about the certain things that are going on in the locker room, he said, "Hey man, it's not, you know." He was giving me the inside scoop about the people that are sitting on the bench or whatever, on the couch or whatever. The unfortunate thing about it is that we on the outside looking in. That's all we have is those little mannerisms of body language and things of that nature. Just like, perfect example, and I'm not trying to draw attention to it, but the perfect example is of this weekend. A.J. Brown got engaged to his fiance.
Mm-hmm. Which was a,
an
I would
event
say,
within itself.
Yeah, I was going to say a pretty high profile kind of event.
Yes, John Legend, you know, singing and everything.
Setting that bar high.
Set it super high. I'll never get married again because I can't live up to those expectations.
But that'd be a lot of planning for you, yeah.
It was noticed by a few people how, you know, in his wedding, well, his fiance's, well, his engagement party, I should say, that there were certain individuals that were missing. Now, that could have been anything. It could have been a scheduling conflict or whatever. But you when you're in a when the public eye like that and you're the face of the franchise or whatever, the point that I'm getting at is that you leave it open for speculation.
People go off of what they see.
Yes.
Yeah.
You leave everything open for speculation.
Yep.
So the Phillies aren't playing well. Bryce Harper's power is not there. Well, it wasn't there. We had the conversation. So it leads us to speculate. And, you know, when you're short, it means – because even Dev talked about it. Devin, you're a little short, and you're not doing well. People notice that. And so now they're wondering why it's like that. Regardless to what anybody else says inside the organization, that's inside the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the people outside, we're trying to figure out what's going on with Bryce.
Yep.
Is he okay? I mean, is he hurt? Because you even said, is he hurt? Because normally when he's trying to bunt, that means he's not confident in his swing.
Something's off.
And then when you get in the press conference and you're asked questions, that you're being short. But I will say this. Somebody's listening because he wasn't as short in his last press conference that I saw.
Let's get to that. So yesterday, so he did have a better day. If you just look, I mean, obviously yesterday was a better day. He had two hits. Hit a home run, his first home run since April 18th. Unfortunately for him and the Phillies, he didn't get those hits late. He struck out in the ninth, and then he had to fly out in the 10th when the Phillies were trying to win the game, obviously, in both of those innings. He couldn't do it, and he was, I mean, you could hear it. Bryce is frustrated after the game, and he expounded a little bit yesterday on those frustrations.
Kind of what are you feeling at the plate, and what do you kind of make of how it's gone for you so far?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just frustrated on a bigger level. Just want to come through for the team and play well, and obviously I've been through ruts in my career and gone through ups and downs, and you know, worse than what I'm on right now, but just frustrated for the fans, frustrated for my team. You know, even that last moment right there against Beeks, you know, just not coming through, just super frustrated for that. So just want to play better, gotta play better, take better at bats and all that kind of stuff. So just gotta be a better ball player.
And you know what, the unfortunate thing about that, Bryce, is that we just want to know, you know, as fans. We just, I mean, it sounds so simple, but when you say stuff like that in the simplest way, people get that. But we want to know, so you don't want to be left for the reckless speculation that we like to do.
Like what's going on?
Yeah, hey, oh my gosh, Bryce is really, really short today. Is he okay? You know, things like that. It's a small thing, and I know sometimes, you know, as professional athletes, you don't feel like talking. But you got to say something because you have to know that your nonverbal communication speaks volumes to sometimes.
Right. Well, and because he's a guy, and you said this last week when we had the discussion, he, when things are going well, he's demonstrative. He talks. He'll do the, like, he'll, like, rip open the Superman chest on his jersey. Like, he likes to have fun with the crowd when he's doing well,
yeah,
which is great. But, like, when he's not, then we don't know what's going on. If he was a player that didn't ever show emotion, I don't think we'd talk about it much.
No.
But he does.
When it's going bad or it's going sideways, I should say, not bad, you look at him as the compass, the moral, the, I guess, better way of saying it, moral compass, or like the steadying vibe in the locker room.
What's Jalen's thing? What was Jalen's thing about the thermometer and the temperature?
The temperature, yeah.
Be the thermostat,
right,
or something like that.
Jalen sets the temperature.
Yeah.
That Bryce at times obviously sets the temperature. Look, let's hope yesterday, although he didn't perform in the ninth and 10th, let's hope it's a jumping off point. He did have two hits, and he did a home run the other way yesterday. So that's a good sign. Phillies don't sweep the series, but 2 out of 3. Day off today, and then we get Tampa and Cleveland tomorrow. Starting tomorrow, they're in. You know, they're playing in a minor league park the next 3 nights?
Is that right?
So Tampa, they had the there was the hurricane.
Oh, okay, so they had to move. They had
so
to change the venue.
So they're playing in the Yankees spring training site for the season. So we're playing games the rest of this week in a spring training stadium.
Gotcha.
Eric is in Middletown, is up with a BG story. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy 5-5 day.
Happy 5-5 day. Also known as Cinco de Mayo, Hugh. 5-5.
5-5. Got it.
Quick story of my kid played Little League football. We used to go to the NovaCare Center for the junior day and get to throw some balls, hit some pads, catch some passes. We did. I dreamed of it, but I didn't. I was too big for it. But long story short, you'd go into the NovaCare, and it'd be, you know, number 5'5", be sitting there holding court, and you could wait. The kids could wait in line and chat with Brandon Graham, and it was really cool. Like, my kid did it 4 years in a row, and the last time he won was the year after the Super Bowl, and when he got off, I said to him, you know, what'd you say to Brandon Graham? And he's like, great strip sack, bro. So, that's my Brandon Graham story.
Well, I like that one. I'm sure Brandon's heard that in a lot of different ways, but that one might be one of the more unique ones. A kid will always just tell you what they're thinking off the top of their head. Great strip sack, bro.
Yeah, that's what kids do, man. They're awesome. They're awesome. They're the best.
Yeah. There's no filter on a kid.
None. None whatsoever. Sometimes that can work against you, though.
Yeah, like what?
When they talk bad about you. Yeah. Or tell you, you know.
You get roasted by kids?
Oh, all the time.
Kids are rent-free in Hugh's head.
I know.
With the hot dog thing.
I like the brutal honesty of children. You know?
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
I feel like
I do. I mean, I know it just gives you something to think about, though. It definitely does.
But and you think about it.
Gives you something to think about.
Sounds like we might need to bring some kid callers on just to give you their unfiltered takes on you, Hugh. Here's what I think of your show takes.
Ain't that what we do when we talk to you people?
Well,
like,
it
talk
is.
To unfiltered.
Yes. But they're not children. I mean, I guess they could be children. I don't know what's going on in the YouTube chat.
They could be. I mean, but there is a level of childlike, you know, glee when they talk bad about us. Yeah,
they also own space in Hugh's head.
I told you it was going to happen as soon as we went on YouTube. He's going to think about what he's wearing. He's going to think about his appearance.
Well, I have started, like, I try to wear clothes as much as I possibly can now.
Yeah.
You started thinking about the cameras as soon as they put them
totally.
In.
We knew it was going to happen.
I mean, you know, I'm okay. I've adjusted well.
Yeah.
You know, I'm adjusting.
For the most part. Now, did the voice thing with Hugh happen post YouTube when he?
Oh yeah, the helium incident.
Yeah, he's a good player. 17 and a half sacks last year.
I like Trey.
Excuse me. That was like a day or two before it happened, and I like how you just set that up, knowing dang on well that it did happen before we.
I don't know if it did. We've been on YouTube for over a month now, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So that was April 15th.
Oh, we were on YouTube.
Definitely
then.
On YouTube.
We were?
Yeah. Huh. Some people saw your voice leave you.
They saw it. They saw it leave me. It was an out of body experience.
Totally. Let's go to Larry and Jacob, and then we'll check in with those you people. What's up, Larry?
Mission Green.
Green.
He didn't make it. He ran.
Jenkintown 19046.
Wow. Maybe.
And then she goes,
that's. What do we think? That sounded like somebody's address. So.
Oh yeah. Well, that's. Is that on us or is that on Larry?
Well, I mean, it's on Larry, but it was on me to dump it, as I did. So,
I do enjoy when we have someone at work call in and then we hear their work. Obviously, if it's something like that, we can't let you hear that. All right, can we hear from you people? Well, we can't hear from Larry. We can check in with you people.
You people.
It's time to hear from you people.
What do you mean, you people?
Conflicting comments about Jillio's looks today.
Okay.
Someone said you needed a haircut because you got some 5 o'clock shadow on your head. Mm. How often do you get haircuts?
Well, do we call them haircuts?
Well,
there's not enough hair to cut. I just shaved my head.
You just shave your head?
Every other day. So okay. it's going to be tonight. So,
all right. Well, somebody's
so I think they're onto something.
Especially because they called out the 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah. Okay. Is that what it is for a head?
I never noticed that.
It was an interesting phrase for it. So.
Yeah. Okay. We'll go with that.
Like, fine.
Sure.
But somebody then replied and said, your head looks so shiny that it can tell the future.
Mm.
I think it's a crystal ball.
It needs to be a little bit more. The bald head joke. Come on, can we be a little bit more creative?
Well, I mean.
Also, I'm not recently bald. I mean, this has been a thing
right,
for a while.
Bob, I'm just saying, but it's just like, is crystal ball when that's
recently on YouTube, yeah.
I guess it's still new for those people. And we could have newer YouTube people who just got in and they're like, I didn't realize he was bald.
Look how bald he is.
Again. I mean, I shave my own head. I don't run from this. It's not like I have a bald spot. Yeah. I don't admit it. Like some people are like that. But
you experimented with the cul-de-sac. Really.
He did.
Yeah, I did, but it then.
Like, what happened to that?
He bailed instantly.
Speaking of kids.
Yeah.
My son was like, what are you doing? cut it off. He was distraught.
So you got bullied back into being football?
I got bullied.
Yeah, you can't embarrass the kids.
But I will say, I think the light above my head in here accentuates the reality.
Yeah,
of
it does. It makes you look real, really, really white.
Yeah. Well, I'm very white.
But not as white as it makes, because I'm looking at the thing. You look really, really white. Really,
I look
really
whiter on YouTube than I really am.
And it doesn't help because you got on the Eagles autism thing.
Yeah,
too.
I thought today was a good day to wear this. Yeah. But
as I tend to wear darker colors like on a daily basis.
You're wearing darker and dark. I'm wearing light on light. Yeah. That's the midday show.
Speaking of what he was wearing, somebody wondered why you couldn't be bothered to wear a green shirt today for BG Day.
Why wouldn't I be bothered?
I don't know why. Some people fixate on really odd things. Yeah. Like, why isn't Hugh Douglas wearing a green shirt today? Like,
what do you mean? I was supposed to wear like a BG?
I guess.
BG shirt?
I don't. Look, those people.
It was in
me.
Your email. If you read it, you would have seen that.
It was?
No, I'm kidding.
No, because I ain't read my email.
Hugh
while.
Got back into his email today.
Did
was
he?
A big, oh,
for
yeah.
The first time.
Congrats, yeah. Man. Yeah. Suspended from it for a while.
The reason why I didn't wear it, because I didn't put that much thought into what I was wearing. That's, you know, no, seriously, all jokes aside, you know what I thought about? Because this is what I have to wear tonight when we go to the meet and greet.
Yep.
So I want to look presentable.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, it's a presentable shirt.
Yeah, and so, you know, I let everybody else do that. I wear, you know, I'll just wear what I want to wear.
Yeah, well, look, it's BG's day, not your day.
No, it's not.
But your day was 5-3. How did you celebrate 5-3, if people were wondering?
Oh, they wonder how to...
What'd you do on Saturday?
Go to Trace. To Trace?
Yeah.
Well.
Anything good on Saturday?
Well, about like every other Saturday, we had me a gummy and drank some bourbon.
That's a big celebration.
Yeah, big time.
I mean, look, it's your day.
You can celebrate
how you want. Gummy and drink some bourbon and watch some TV.
Yep. All right, we were talking about you on the golf course and getting you a set of clubs. Mm-hmm. Somebody pointed out you. It would probably behoove you to get custom fitted clubs because of your alligator arms.
Well, I was thinking about that. I had some, but I haven't hit them in so long. I need to get some new ones.
To be fair. Does Hugh have short arms for regular people, or he has short arms for a defensive end?
I have short arms for defensive end.
It's just
end.
Morphed into
We have now created a world where you have tiny arms, where that's not really true.
Compared
to most of our listeners, you probably have longer arms.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's just the narrative that
we like to be dramatic.
We took some liberties.
Yeah.
Okay, so
sure.
Hugh has T-Rex arms.
Yes. Good for Hugh being so professional today while talking to his eventual replacement. Brandon Graham.
Well, that's the way it works for every Eagles defensive end.
But I'd like to clap back at that one, though. I'm okay if Brandon wants to work here. I can always go back to Georgia.
I mean, wow.
I did. Is
that a threat?
No, I'm just saying. I mean,
threatening the bosses, the WIP?
No, I'm just saying. I did radio on two major markets.
There's plenty of room here.
If Brandon wants to come, he'd be more than welcome.
Brandon's been a part of WIP for a while.
Forever, and it would be silly to think that he wouldn't be.
Right.
For the future.
Right. I don't know what his future is, what job he's going to do, or what he wants to do, but I imagine he's going to have a role on the station.
Well, look, I mean, you were able to keep it together while talking to your actual replacement in Trent Cole earlier today.
Yep.
Yes.
So, you know.
Even told the story of when he realized Trent was taking a job.
I mean, I do well. Like, I know how things work.
Yeah,
big old dinner table.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Speaking of you knowing how things work, people saw me laughing during the Jeffrey Lurie replay.
Mm.
And it was because Hugh was in my ear.
Whispering
to me.
So just to give everyone a glimpse. So
with your mics off.
All right, so we have a button in here. You might see this if you watch on YouTube or you see clips. So Hugh and I have a button, right? So we could press a button and talk to only Kyle, right? So like it doesn't go over the air. It's not on the microphone. But we talk into the microphone to do it.
Yeah.
So but typically if I want Kyle to find a piece of audio or something, and Hugh's talking or a caller's talking, I'll press that button and I'll whisper to Kyle.
Yeah, keep it down a little bit because Hugh's mic is on and
could pick
it up.
So I'm not yelling, but Kyle can hear me. So I think we're used to that. So we're replaying the Jeff Lurie interview. Obviously, no one can hear us. The Lurie interview's on the air. And he was like, Kyle. What do we think about this?
I even said, I'm like, you don't have to whisper.
And then he kept doing it.
And I proceeded to whisper.
Because
it just felt like the right thing.
It's a habit. No,
it just felt like the right
thing. I think it's better you stayed in that habit rather than start to scream into the mic to Kyle.
Well, once yawn loud enough so that Joe's mic can pick it up.
And you know what my biggest, fear is? Sometimes, you know, when we're off the air, I like to work a little blue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's the biggest fear. So that's why I was kind of whispering because I was just like, I don't want to, you know, say nothing crazy. Because every now and then, I'd be real close.
And actually, to add more context, this the button that's only to Kyle is right next to the regular microphone button.
Yeah, so I'm just
if you don't pay attention, you could have one of those moments.
Well, I mean, you've worked blue with your mic on before.
Totally
on the show.
True.
Why has Hassan Reddick been on four other freaking football teams? Y'all don't understand. Boy, sometimes it gets blue. Up in here, bluer than this shirt I got on. It gets dark blue.
Well, that's why when you say you forget where you are, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, I definitely forget where I am.
Can't forget.
Got to remember everything.
You got to remember where you are at all times.
Yep. Good job by you today. Yeah. You.
All right, we appreciate
it. No cuss words.
We thank you people for chiming in
and
watching. Yes, we do. Yes, all right. Those you people should continue to watch, of course, because the afternoon show, they're going to be next after us live from the Great American Pub in Phoenixville tonight. BG live in Phoenixville. Let's end today with Mike and Berwin, who's got a Phillies take. Hey, Mike.
Mike. Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Mike. What's up?
You know what? First of all, I wanted just to mention with Brendan, he is amazing the way he handled his career. If you look back at five, he held the chip because everybody wanted Dane. You know what? Everybody wanted Earl Thomas, and Brendan just kept going with it. I think that was amazing how
it really
did not allow that to affect
it's
him.
What made Brendan Graham as good as he is. Mike, we appreciate
it. So memorable.
It. Yeah, that's
Brendan.
His name is Brandon, but...
Brandon. That's fine.
Yeah. That's all right.
Yeah, it's not, but we have to go so we can't.
It's a great
way
to honor him.
I'd like a five caught a straight at the end of the show.
I know. He ended it way better than five. Brendan and five. All right, we got to pick a winner today. What was, Kyle, we had a call earlier.
Karen.
Karen told the story of she was a runner and then she had an injury and she was able to get herself back with the inspiration of the Eagles
motivation.
By the parade.
Yeah,
yes, the motivation. Cool. All right, Karen.
Motivation from Brendan.
Yes, from the legend in Eagles history, Brendan Graham. All right, Karen, you win
job,
the $100 gift card. All right, he's in his feelings. $100 gift card to Sunoco, now available exclusively at Sunoco gas stations, of course, is
I'm not leaving.
94 Octane. Well, actually, we are leaving. We have to. We have to hand it off to the afternoon
show. Yeah, we do. I guess
we're going to Phoenixville. You guys have a great yesterday. BG Live tonight. Afternoon show next from the Great American Pub in Phoenixville on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Go Birds!